of 60 in Florida, Lavelle Neal. Hey, welcome to Sioux Falls.
Hi, Des. How's it going?
Hey, doing great, doing great. Twins begin their first exhibition game here this weekend. What's it been like this week down in Florida with these guys?
Well, you know, they've been just going through their daily practices, and batting practice started about 4 days ago. So, pitchers have been throwing the hitters down here, and they've been going through the drills. I think they've kind of hit a wall with the drills because today was kind of a sloppy day on the field. A lot of drills not getting completed. They had to stop everything a couple of times for, encouragement from the coaching staff, we should say.
Yeah, we heard Mr. Gardenhire wasn't very happy with the execution for a while today.
Yeah. Things were kind of breaking down. And that's a sign that I hate to use the term dog days, but the dog days of the workout schedule may be hitting these guys. They may be ready to play in games here so they can earn jobs and show people what they've got. So, all they have to do is wait a couple more days because, the spring training schedule opens on Saturday and the Twins drive up to Sarasota to take on the Orioles.
What's the feeling around camp right now, Lavelle? They got rid of Denard Span, got rid of Ben Revere, Terry Ryan, trying to get some young arms and trying to restock that farm system. Is there a different feel to camp than there was maybe the last couple of years?
Well, I think because of some of the pitchers they added, it's not like they added a Zach Greinke or Edwin Jackson or anything like that, but they did add a couple guys in Mike Pelfrey and Vance Worley and Cal Gibson's healthy, and that's injected some hope in the camp here because if they think the starting pitching improves, then they'll be in more games, and they think they have the offense to be functional, and they'll be able to score a few games and win. That remains to be seen. They got to do a lot of the little things right, too. They got to field the ball, make all the right decisions in the field. But they're feeling more optimistic because they figured that things can't get too much worse than in the last couple of years when they lost 195 games.
You mentioned Mike Pelfrey, one of those guys that they brought in. What can we expect from some of these guys? Kyle Gibson coming off of Tommy John surgery also had some issues when he was at University of Missouri as well. Between that and Rich Harden, what can Twins fans expect out of this pitching staff?
Well, I think it'll be a little bit better. I think last year they had a bunch of number 5 type starters, and now they've got some number 3 type starters. Pelfrey looks good in camp. He knows what he's doing. It seems like his arm is bouncing back quickly, and he's able to get his work in and move forward here. He's actually taking on it seems like he's throwing more pitches in these outings than some of the other Twins pitchers, so he's feeling really good right now. Kyle Gibson's going to be interesting because he's coming back from Tommy John. He's got the talent. He had an outstanding bullpen session a couple of days ago and was pretty solid again today. And if he makes the team, the Twins have to make a decision. Are they going to treat him like Steven Strasburg and shut him down once he gets to a certain pitch inning count, or are they going to start him late or what? But first of all, Gibson's got to earn his spot on the team. Vance Worley should be a steady guy. He's pitched for the last few years for the Philadelphia Phillies, so he's been around Roy Halladay and Cole Hamels and Cliff Lee and knows what it's like to be a professional. Rich Harden, I wouldn't expect anything from him for a long time. He's not even throwing in bullpens right now. I think he threw yesterday and threw all fastballs. And I think the plan was for him to rest like 3 days. They're taking it really easy with him coming back from shoulder surgery, and they're gonna slowly build him up. So I wouldn't even expect him to be a factor here until maybe May or June. And if that, he just may be a bullpen guy. So you got some different characters to put in some of these spots in rotation, and some of them are definitely talented. I didn't even mention Kevin Correa, who should be the Twins hope is a solid number 5 starter. He's got to prove he can come over to the American League and get hitters out after spending his whole career in the National League. So that's going to be a challenge for him. But they got some new faces, and we'll see how far they can go.
Hey, one of those new faces has kind of a local angle on our side here, Lavelle. Caleb Thielbar went to South Dakota State University, has been with the Twins organization here for a little bit. I know he's down there this year. Have you had a chance to see him at all, know anything about him? Any chance that he could do something for the Twins?
Yeah, I watched him throw the bullpen early in the week. Not bad. He throws like, I think, upper 80s, touches 90, I think. Has a real nice curveball. It's got a lot of spin and a lot of break to it. And he broke off some nice ones for strikes during the bullpen session. So he's kind of an intriguing guy. I got to imagine that he's going to be a Rochester this year and really be close to a major league debut here. I don't know how many Jackrabbits are in the majors, but
not a lot.
Looks like he may be the next one.
Not a lot there, Lavelle, but thanks for the update on that one. Justin Morneau came in last week and said, you know what, I'm not going to sign a new deal. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to talk about it once the season starts. Were you surprised with that comment from Justin Morneau last week?
No, not really. I guess the other day, I also threw out there the fact that he wouldn't mind, you know, maybe one day playing for the Toronto Blue Jays, you know, since he's from Canada, which kind of surprised me. But, you know, Morneau's in the last year with contract. He knows there's a business side, to a business component to this game. He knows he's not put up numbers last year. He knows he could be traded by midseason. He also knows that he puts up big numbers, maybe could force the Twins to sign him to a multi-year contract. So, you know, I think Morneau's always been pretty honest, forthcoming, and speaking as a matter of factly. And I think, you know, he answered a direct question directly and just said, hey, you know, this is the situation I'm in. I prefer, you know, not to negotiate during the season. But I think if Terry Ryan calls Morneau's agent and they want to talk turkey, I think he'd be willing to listen. So, and I always give Morneau a lot of credit because he really doesn't hide too much, and he lets you know what he's thinking.
Sure.
And that was the case when he was, you know, trying to be as forthcoming as he could.
Hey, Lavelle, one more note on Morneau. Saw your story about the helmet he's been wearing over the last couple of years. It looks like the one that he's wearing now, everyone's going to be wearing.
That's right, the Rawlings S100 helmet. For some unknown reason, the helmet baseball players have been wearing in recent years was built to withstand fastballs up to 68 miles an hour. Why they stopped at 68, you know, it just boggles my mind. You know, but the new S100 actually can withstand fastballs up to 100 miles an hour. There's more padding. There's a different type of composite that's used to manufacture the helmet. It's much sturdier and can protect the noggin against blows to the head. So kudos to Major League Baseball for, you know, moving into the 2000s and getting a helmet that actually could take a fastball.
Gaylord Perry couldn't break that 68 miles an hour, so it's amazing that they've upgraded.
I wonder if that's what Giancarlo Stanton was wearing the other day when he got popped in the head with a fastball.
I guess he's going to be okay, though, so that's good for him. That's the one thing that's interesting. Sometimes these bullpen sessions, man, you get these rookies that are throwing BP for the first time, and they're trying to impress the coach and the manager, and they get humping it up, and next thing you know, someone's getting clobbered. It seems like this year was the first time that no one – well, I take that back. Brian Dukeman had got – there was one Twins player who had some chim music from Alex Meyer yesterday. But it seems like there's always one or two pitches by these young guys, man. It gets away from them early in spring and clobbers someone. And unfortunately, Giancarlo Stanton was the victim of one.
And that's right now you mentioned the Blue Jays. And, of course, we know the Blue Jays and Marlins had that just monster deal just a couple of months ago. You think Justin Morneau with everybody in Toronto, I mean – man, that's better than the Blue Jays lineup from the early 90s with Cito Gaston when they won the World Series. I mean, it's crazy to think that something like that happens nowadays in Major League Baseball.
Well, it happened twice because, you know, the Red Sox and the Dodgers made that ridiculous trade, you know, with Adrian Gonzalez.
Oh, that was like $250 million in salary that the Dodgers took on, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing how these teams, you know, crap poverty, and all of a sudden they're taking on all this salary. And I give the Toronto GM Anthopoulos credit for, you know, being proactive here and trying to put this team in position to win because, you know, the Red Sox are down. The Yankees, you know, they could still be a solid team, but they're getting old. And the AL East right now can be had. And I think the Blue Jays saw opportunity and they've pounced on it. So more power to them.
Hey, what spot in the infield is still in question for the Twins that they need to decide on here during the exhibition season?
Well, I think they hope that Brian Dozier takes over second, and they hope that Pedro Florimond takes over short. And I'm pretty sure Plouffe's going to be the third baseman. So I think the infield's kind of settled, but if one of those middle infielders falls in their face, then they're going to have to look at Jamie Carroll as a starter or maybe even Eduardo Escobar, who they got for Francisco Liriano last year at the trade deadline.
Hey, Lavelle, appreciate the time. I know a lot of folks get down to Florida, get to Fort Myers. I assume you'll see some nice crowds with some of those Twins games here beginning on Saturday.
Yeah, people who follow me on Twitter, and that's at Lavelle Neal, they seem to they're dropping hints about how they're coming down in the next week or so, and getting away from the cold weather and getting in the sun here and watching a little baseball. I mean, even if your team is, you know, coming off of two bad years, it's a reason to escape the frozen upper Midwest and get some sunshine.
Now, we got to talk to Lavelle more often because I've got more questions that are rolling around right now because of the outfield situations and, of course, you mentioned the infield. So Yeah, we'll have to do this again sometime soon, LaVille. This was a lot of fun.
Sure, no problem, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, LaVille. Talk to you later. There he goes from Fort Myers down in Florida, talking to Twins baseball with LaVille Neal, the baseball writer with the Star Tribune.